Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. My name is Andrea, and I'm here today with Brandon and our very special guest. We have Pastor Daryl with us today, too. So we are going to dive in with a couple of announcements and such. So first is that the podcast is sponsored by the Christ Community Cafe. So if you go to the cafe and you are the first person to say the word Emmanuel to whoever is working there, you will get a free small drink. So this can be at any point in time, Wednesday for Awana, Thursday during the day, Sunday on a weekend, whenever, come in, get a free drink.
Right after I leave this podcast.
Well, technically, it won't be uploaded yet. Oh, all right. So they don't have the word yet.
I have not told Danae. Not yet.
Not until it's uploaded. And then just a reminder that it's uploaded every Wednesday afternoon on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, if you prefer to watch. A couple other announcements on what's going on coming up. No Wednesday Night Hangs tonight. If you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, we will be back the following week. Also, Christmas party is coming up on the 17th. Be sure to pull out your ugly Christmas sweater, dust that off, and bring a gift for our gift exchange, $5 or under, something that you wouldn't mind getting and taking home as well. And then finally, missions trips. We have three opportunities this summer. Middle school will be serving here in Rochester as well as in the Twin Cities. And then our 9th through 12th graders, you guys have the opportunity to go to Cleveland, Ohio. And then our juniors and seniors will be headed back down to the Dominican Republic. And with that reminder, Life Conference is in 2025, so we will be encouraging you guys to go to that. So in 2025, which I know feels like forever away, we will not have missions trips. So if you're a junior and you want to go to the DR, this is your year to go. If you're worried about finances or anything like that, please have a conversation with us. We don't want that to be the one reason why you don't go. Signups end December 31st, so you got a little bit more time to talk with your parents, get signed up for those. So that's what we have for announcements. Brandon, do you want to tell us about the song we're listening to this week?
I'd love to. And it's great. I feel like it's a classic Christmas song, as Daryl said earlier. But yes. George of the World by Daryl's favorite, Chris Tomlin.
Chris Tomlin. He's my guy.
Yeah. So
I remember when this one came out.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's an age gap. It's all right.
Just a little. Just a few years.
But this song is still really great today and has a lot of great words. This idea of, like, Jesus is the joy. He is the great hope. Like what Bill said this past weekend, he's the great hope that's coming to this world. Yeah. And to, in any circumstance, give us the joy we need, that he's going to walk alongside us and he's going to be there with us. And he gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with the Father. And that's a beautiful thing in and of itself. So,
yeah. Awesome. So to kick off our conversation this week, all month long, we're going to be asking the same fun question to start us off. And that is, what is your favorite holiday tradition that you like to do this time of year?
So are we starting with me?
If you want
Absolutely
to go for
we
it.
Are.
You were looking at me, so I'm just
looking in this general direction.
So a couple things. I enjoy gift giving. So gifts are part of my love language. And so this time of year is built for that. And gift receiving, because again, it's part of your love language. That's why you hear I love you from people. So it's fun within our family. And Marie also has this almond cookie cake that she bakes. So yeah, you guys that are part of the office staff, you've experienced that office cookie cake. And that has been part of our family tradition for a number of years. So I love that part as well. Christmas Eve services, which are a big part of my Christmas Eve tradition. And then the crash that comes after all of that.
Yes.
We usually eat soup and go to bed on Christmas Eve after all the services. Wake up for Christmas and what comes in the week after that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Brandon?
So recently, the past few years, it's been traveling, just like driving long, long hours for forever Christmas holiday. But growing up, we would stay up to like all night on Christmas Eve, and then on midnight we would open our gifts, and like up until that point we would watch It's a Wonderful Life and we would make we would start it so it would end at midnight, and then when the movie's done, we would open gifts, and that there was always go. Just a fun time as a family to do that. Just a, awesome. Something small, simple thing, but always fun.
So did you open all the gifts, or was there one or two gifts, and then you waited until the next morning for?
So all like the big gifts, you know, and then there's the stockings with like your socks and the. I don't know.
The things that as adults you're real excited
right,
to get.
Yeah. But as a kid, I'm like, oh, aww. Great. Another thing of chapstick.
And now you're like, yes. Yeah.
I have it by myself.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Yeah. One of mine is my grandparents have lived in Iowa for my entire life. And so every year we always go down there and just spend time with family, which I really appreciate, especially now because my family is all over the place. So when we get to be able to get together is really special. So, all right. So this past weekend, we kicked off a new series in high school. And this week we talked about how Jesus is God and focused on John chapter 1. So in there, John refers to Jesus as the Word. And so our question to start us off with this is, why did John refer to Jesus as the Word?
You guys are looking at me, so I'm guessing this is my question.
I asked the question, whoever responds is great.
Oh, I dabbled into this this past Sunday night, so I'd love to get your perspective as well. And kind of maybe a deeper thought into it than what I simply shared this past Sunday night.
Well, I didn't hear your message, but I think there are a couple things going on. One is John is writing into kind of a Western mindset, and that concept of the Word would have been something even like his first readers who did not know about Jesus would have understood that concept. So it's kind of like the Word is the expression of who you are. There's a lot of philosophy and whatever that goes into it. And frankly, I remember reading it and can't articulate it well. But the Word is the expression of who you are. And so it fits very nicely with Jesus being the image of the invisible God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'd be my short answer on that. How's that?
Yeah, I think that's basically what I shared in the different words. I also like the word, like, you know, expression, like when God was creating in the beginning, that parallels to Genesis 1, right?
Yep.
And in the beginning, God spoke. Like he could have snapped his fingers. He could have pointed. He could have nodded his head. He could have done a bunch of different things, but he spoke. And I think like how John said, like all things were like made by him and through him. I think it adds just kind of a level of like community and intimacy between the Father and the Son and like who Jesus is outside of just his birth to ascension to heaven. So,
Yeah. And like like a word gives expression to a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So the thought is just in there and then the word lets it come out. And so, That's good, healthy theology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just another, again, tangible way, like, again, Jesus is the expression of the invisible God. I like that description. So it's easy for us to see Jesus just as like his 33 years here on earth. But what is the significance of recognizing that he always has been and always will be?
It blows my mind to think about pre-existence. Right. I can do okay with like gonna last forever.
Yeah.
But I struggle with been here forever. Mm-hmm. Like no starting point. So the significance of this, though, of that concept of the eternality of Jesus is he is God. Mm-hmm. If he has a starting point, he's not God. He's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we hear, you know, we read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So the pre-existence of Jesus, that he is part of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it makes like, it adds value to his taking on flesh. I think it does. And I think that kind of, because it's really easy when we, and growing up, for those of us that grew up in church, right, to say like, who is Jesus? Like, what did he do? And be like, oh, he was born in the manger and he did these miracles and he died on the cross. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it. Like we put it to those 33 years, but there's this whole vastness of before and adding like that, just the value and the like, whoa, the awe, mm-hmm. right, of what he chose to do, like the humility to take on flesh, mm-hmm. I think just becomes that much greater. And for me, creates a sense of like much more gratitude within myself of like when I pray, when I read and go to him and in community with others because of what he's done.
I think too, it's thinking about similar to what you were saying, Brandon, of like, but it, you know, when we think of him in just his human, like one thing I love about Jesus is like, he's so relatable. Like we get to mm-hmm. see how he struggled, like, you know, was betrayed by his friends, like things we go through, and he's so relatable. But I think sometimes when we just think about and just picture his life on earth, we almost separate him from being God. And so again, I think when we think about how he is eternal, we reconnect him with the sense of him being God, and that expands and again creates this idea of awe and wonder that again I feel like we focus more on during this holiday season. Like I feel like it's easy as we're thinking about Jesus coming to earth as a baby, like it's like, wow, that's so cool. But when it comes to the rest of the year, I think we can often miss out on that awe piece of it. So I think again it reiterates this idea that like, yes, he is God, and like he's more than just his human life. And that's really important. And I'm similar to you, Daryl, of like him being like here forever and ever, like that's a little bit easier to grasp. But like before and every time, like I have fourth and fifth graders, that's a question that they ask a lot. Like, how was God created? Like and I was like, he wasn't. And they're like, but what? Like, but where did he come from?
And
I
was then
like,
they have the headaches.
I know. I know.
But if you like, if you want a God that you can figure out and wrap your arms around, then you got to go somewhere different. But I've always like it. It is comforting to me that I can't figure out God.
Yeah.
And so like, I can't explain the Trinity. I can embrace it. I can delight in it.
Yeah.
But I cannot understand it and explain it. Yeah. Pre-existence of God. That is swimming in the deep end of the pool, and you can drown out there, you know, if you let yourself drown out there.
Yeah.
Well, and for me, as you were talking, Andrew, thinking about the deity of Jesus, and I'm speaking on peace this weekend, so we're lighting the candle of peace in our Advent series, and thinking about the turmoil that's in our world, you know, and you've got the big stuff like the war in Ukraine and what's going on in Israel, and then you've got the stuff that's more local and things we experience in our own lives. And reading the scriptures, reading forward into eternity, you know, Jesus is our coming King, and he brings the power and the wisdom and the goodness of being God into our future experience.
Yeah.
And I see the turmoil in our world, and nobody has a solution for this, right? We've been trying to negotiate peace in the Middle East as a country and as the United Nations since existence, not that far back really, but
it feels like that.
It's been like we've been trying, and there's conflict around the world. We experience conflict in our own nation, our own state. Like there's conflict in our own families that we can't deal with. We need someone from the outside to step in, and Jesus comes back and brings with him that power to speak God's peace over the nations, you know. And He is the baby in the manger, and he is the good teacher and the savior on the cross, but he is also the resurrected Lord.
Yeah.
And when he speaks peace, like peace happens. Mm-hmm. And that to me is, again, he's got to be God for that to happen. Otherwise, he's just a good dude.
Yep.
And hopefully he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or we're all crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. No, I love that. This next kind of question connects into like the series two that we're talking about, this out of darkness into light idea. But Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And that comes from John 1:5, I think the verse is. So what does it look like for us to allow Jesus to fill our lives with light?
I think the peace. I think going back to it, I think there comes an overwhelming sense of peace knowing, like, also going back to what Bill was saying, like, having that hope that, like, Jesus will come back and he will be king and he will reign and all of this pain and the sin will go away, will be defeated. I think there comes a sense of peace when we are accepting him as the light of our light and overcoming darkness and sin in our own lives. And yeah, I think that just overwhelming sense of peace that we can't really understand, I think, comes from that.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, there is that part of, you know, in him is light, and that light is the life of all humankind. The light shines in darkness. Darkness doesn't overcome it. There's the element of, like, you've got to receive that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that is, yeah. that has got to be, you've got to say that is light that is not my light. Mm-hmm. Whatever my light is darkness compared to that light. Mm-hmm. So that's light I want. That's light in life that I want to experience in my own life. And the Bible talks about it. I just finished reading through Romans in my personal Bible reading. And you know, Romans talks about put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And it's the same concept, right? It's yeah. just different images that are spread throughout. And so I think there's that element of, and Christmas is a great time to pause. Mm-hmm. It's not the natural bent, at least not for me, and it's not for our culture. Christmas is a time where everything ramps up, right? I mean, yeah. we get busier, and there's all the things to think about and all the things to see and all the things to do. But there has to be a stopping, you know, in our lives and a waiting and a willingness to receive what Jesus is offering, not on the go. Jesus is not working at a drive-through window, you know? I mean, like, unfortunately, maybe for our culture and the pace yeah. of which, but fortunately for us as human beings, mm-hmm. it's a sit-down restaurant deal, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think there's a receiving of that light and a cultivating and nurturing of that through our spiritual disciplines, yeah. you know? For me, that's a big piece of Christmas, mm-hmm. is trying to create time and space to remember that I walk in darkness, mm-hmm. you know, and that's my natural bend. I bend back towards darkness. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have light, I love the passage from Isaiah. I think it's in Isaiah 46 where it talks about Father speaking over Jesus, basically saying it's too small a thing for you to just be a light to the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Your light to the Gentiles too. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, those kind of passages just astound me this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thankful for them.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm a Gentile.
As a Gentile, yeah.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yes, yeah. Yeah, no, I love each of these pieces. Again, like Brandon, you've mentioned the hope and peace and like this Advent series as we're walking through. Like, I think really looking at each of these four things, you know, the hope, the peace, and then we'll get to joy and then love, like each of those things when we truly embrace. And as you said, Daryl, like receive, like there's something we have to receive, like they're available to us and we have to receive. And simply by receiving those things, like that is us allowing Jesus to fill our lives with light. And I think that, like, again, this time of year, it's that balance of like, there's so much going on that makes us so busy, but like, it's also like such a good time for us to like intentionally slow down. And when we do that, I think that there's so much there that's available that sometimes in this season can sometimes feel more accessible, although it's not any more accessible than it is any time of the year. But I think it's more in our faces maybe this time of year. There's more things going on that it feels like we can really cling to those things. So
it's a spiritually sensitive time of year. Mm-hmm. I think yeah. I think heaven is, I don't know how to say it, the unseen world, I think it's more active. I think like, it's just a spiritually sensitive yeah. time of year. People are paying attention to Jesus, which raises
yep.
both positive and, you know, enemy force. Like, it's a yeah. thing this time of year.
For
so
sure.
Bill this last week used a phrase when he's talking about hope. He called Christian people hope bearers. And I thought that was a great statement, and I think it applies to light. Mm-hmm. You know, that mm-hmm. not only are we received light, we are light bearers
yeah.
as well. And mm-hmm. to remember what darkness was like mm-hmm. in our lives, and to be people of light, mm-hmm. and not a light's a good thing mm-hmm. in darkness. Light's a good thing in darkness. Yeah. And if you have light and somebody else is living in darkness, light is always good news.
Mm-hmm.
know? Absolutely. And so again, we all know people who need light in their life, and to be a light bearer is a cool thing.
Makes me think of the little kid song. This little light, I'm gonna let it shine.
100 bushel.
No! Don't let Satan it out.
You guys are showing your church kidness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought we were singing Joy to the World this time, week.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go for a solo here.
You know, I got invited to sing a solo.
I know.
You should have.
That would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah, no.
You can try in front of Impact first. I'm
yeah,
sure
if
they
you
want to
test
that.
It
yeah,
out.
We'll
for
warm
us.
It out. One of these times we'll warm it. Maybe next year if Bill Comeson's going to make the offer.
Okay.
Can you imagine singing a Christmas hymn as a solo? You guys don't sing either, right?
No. Nope.
No.
Pick a hard one, why don't we, to start with, right? And mumble through the words.
Oh, man. Say, I wouldn't, I don't think I know all the verses and stuff.
No, I know, I know a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices.
And
that's
isn't
line.
That like,
that's
oh,
the
isn't
line.
There the fall on your knees part in
yeah.
that song too?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you like belt it out.
See, we could maybe piece together something. But
and anyway. When you don't know, you just go watermelon.
That's right.
Yes. Or you just take it in.
Yeah, you just gotta stop. Let the crowd sing it for you.
So good. Well, as we wrap up our conversation, any last words, final thoughts on our conversation today?
I want to go to light, and I want to think about where you guys, the students, where you're at, mm-hmm. like been in your schools, and oftentimes those can be dark places. But I just want to encourage you that like, that's Jesus working through you. Mm-hmm. There's not the pressure on yourself to do that. It's just the pray that you have the desire to allow Jesus to move through in your life, the Holy Spirit to work in your life so that you are the hope bearer, so you are the light bearer, and that you guys work together as fellow believers in your schools to do that. As you said, it's especially during a spiritual sensitive time, like you guys can definitely have an impact on a lot of people's lives. Don't think that because of your age, you're not old enough, you're not able to, but you are able to do that. So I want to just encourage you guys as a listener to like step into that role of being a hope bearer.
Yeah, I think I was a church. I mock you guys a little bit for church kids. I was a church kid too.
I know. Yeah, we know Mr. Timothy Award winner. Earner.
And mine is wood. Like the trophy is made out of wood. Back before they turned it into anything. Well, else.
I think you should keep it in your office here at work so people can come and see.
No,
it.
It's not. It's at my. It's at. It is at home. I have it. I still have it. No, So as a church kid, I always felt pressure. To, you know, when we talk about being light bearer, that means, oh my gosh, the grownups want me to go out and force Jesus on people, right? And that's not what we're talking about in any way. You can't give what you don't have, and you can't really share what you're not convinced is good news, right? And so I think the starting place in all this is making time and space for Jesus to receive the light that he offers. And that doesn't, like that starts with salvation, but that doesn't end at praying a prayer. You need that light continually in your life. And so to receive that and then to ask for his guidance of like where he's at work in people's lives around you so that you're not trying to, you know, you're not shining a flashlight in somebody's eyes on a dark night. Like you're offering them a warm fire when it's cold and dark. Okay? Those are two very different light bearing exercises. Sure. And so, and to do that together. That's the other piece, like one little match over here, another little match over here, don't create, but if you bring the matches together, like you got something. And it's a great time of year.
Absolutely.
So final question to finish us off, what are your personal next steps as we walk towards Christmas, whether it's something that, you know, that came out of this conversation, something from the message this past weekend, what's kind of a next step for you?
I'm still processing this past weekend's message, and I'm really grateful for it. This is the only one I'm not preaching. Last weekend's the only one I'm not preaching, so I'm preaching the rest of them. But when Bill put the definition of hope about, you know, tomorrow's goodness infiltrating today, I'm thinking beyond, because for me, Christmas season's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so trying to think beyond and let the hope of eternity infiltrate the stuff that's just a lot of work. And it's, you know, and I got a family, and I have an awesome family that I'm part of, and we but like every other family, we got little messes and you got stuff going on and you have things you're sad about. And so it's like to let hope speak into that for me. And that, again, that fans the flame of that fire and the light kind of in me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Thanks for sharing. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, Christmas is a busy time, mm-hmm. and like traveling plans and all the things that come with that. So I just want to be able to create, like, be intentional of carving out space to like really just sit in the awe of who Jesus is and the fullness of that and the significance of coming down. Like growing up in the church, it was really easy for me to be like, oh yeah, Jesus came as a baby, whatever, mm-hmm. big deal. And but really to be able to sit in that and allow that to be kind of a pushing of like allowing me to be giving hope to other people in this time. So yeah.
For me, I feel like I'm trying to be more intentional as I'm listening to like Christmas, specifically like Christmas worship music. I think it's easy for us to be like, oh yeah, these are like, it's nostalgia and like we're singing it because that's what we sing every year at this time of year. But to like slow myself down and like really listen to the words and like I love these songs because what they're proclaiming, especially for this time of year and for what it means for our faith. And so just trying to really like, as I'm, whether it's in church, whether it's on my own time, whenever I'm listening to these songs, really trying to like process and think about and meditate on the words that are being sung. So, well, we appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, like, we'd encourage you to find somebody and share what your next step this week is, what you're trying to do to take another step in being more like Jesus in your walk. And so we'd encourage you to find somebody. If you have questions, if you want to talk further about what we talked about or about anything else, feel free to reach out to us. We love you guys. We care about you. And with all that being said, we say to you, go and be more like Jesus.
Sweet.
Boom. How about